This is the Lombardi Line with Michael Lombardi and Patrick Maher on VSiN.
Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. As we welcome you back here, hour two, Jordan Schultz is going to join us. Mike Pritchard's going to join in his Monday regular spot. Michael Lombardi there. I'm Patrick Maher. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. So Dak Prescott actually has the second most playoff wins of any NFC quarterback in the playoffs this season. He's 1-3 in his postseason career. You know Tom Brady? He's 35-12 in his postseason career. So a little bit of a delineation there as far as the experience and wins in the postseason. Let's set up this number. I'm going to let you run with it. I know you like Dallas tonight laying the 2.5. You got a total of 45.5. Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a game where I don't think Tampa – now, a lot of this is going to come down to what is the health of the Bucs, right? So going into the game, you know, at the end of the year, they were not healthy. They were not playing – I don't think they were playing well, even though when they beat Carolina, they were playing well. But the health of the team is going to be important, specifically defensively, specifically in the secondary. Last year, when the Bucs were a 500 team and they were humming, you couldn't really run the football on them, right? This year you can. This year you can run the football on them. I mean, this year they don't create turnovers. They're 20th in the league in turnovers. You can run the football on them, and then you can make yards in the passing game on them, you know, and you can throw the football effectively. So that sets up really well. Now, what they can't do is run the ball. They can't run the ball. They are 32nd, Patrick, in every single rushing statistic you want to look at. Yards per attempt, touchdowns, yards, how many times they run it. Only the Chargers run it less than they do. So they're a one-dimensional team that makes it very challenging. They put everything on the quarterback for him to make plays, and he doesn't trust everybody, right? So, you know, to me, this game sets up perfectly for Dallas. Key for Dallas, stay out of third down. One thing the Bucs have been good this year, they're sixth best third down defense in football. So what? Play Canadian football, stay out of it. They're one of the worst red zone defenses in all of football. They're 26th. So when we get the ball in the red zone, we got to score. We have more talent than they have. We need to play well. We need to manage the game correctly. And we need to make Brady have to throw this thing 40, 45 times. Make them. They'll get discouraged early with the run. They'll stop running it early and put the pressure on them to have to execute the passing game. And I think Dallas will win.
Jump out to a big lead. Because where Tampa's been great as far as EPA in the final frame there in the fourth quarter, you know, it's Brady, and that's what they've done. They played well in the fourth. The Cowboys, you don't want to kind of lollygag. You're better than this Buccaneer team. I know what we're hearing from Femi and Berman and the rest of the crew, like, that they don't have expectations. You should have expectations. On paper, you're the better team. The Bucs, yeah, when I watch them, they're old and slow, man. That's all I keep on coming away with.
Well, I mean, look, when I break down the categories that determine winning, the Cowboys are in the top 12 in 14 of those. I mean, so whatever you want to say about the Cowboys, they choke, they're all that. I mean, those numbers just don't appear, right? They're in the top 14. They're in the top 12 in 14 categories that matter towards winning. So, and meanwhile, the Bucs are only in 4. So they have a in-game advantage there. Now, does Prescott have to hold on to the football? There's no doubt. He's got to protect the ball. Like, they can't lose the turnover battle. But to me, you know, I think to me in this game is really simple. I mean, the Carolina Panthers, who are not known to be an explosive passing game, threw for 326 against them. 326. Like, this wasn't Carolina ran for 326, which they did against the Lions. This is Carolina threw for 326 with Sam Darnold. And he threw a red zone interception. And he threw a red zone interception. So, like, this team isn't the same team. They're not the same players. They're not the same team. They're hurt. Their injuries have taken a toll. And Brady doesn't throw it down the field. He's at 6.4 yards per attempt. You can't win playoff games like that.
Tampa Bay, I'll give you some numbers, was a league worst 4-12-1 ATS this season. Tom Brady's never been a home underdog in a playoff game. He is 7-3 ATS in his career as a postseason dog with 4 straight outright wins. So again, Brady as a dog has won 4 straight outright. He's 11-2 ATS and 9-4 outright as a home underdog in the regular season. Again, he's never been in this position.
What do you think the prop bet would be? Last time Brady played a home playoff game and left the team, it was against the Tennessee Titans, and Logan Ryan intercepted a pass for a touchdown, put the game away. Would it be interesting if the last play of this game, Brady threw a pick six to the Cowboys for his last game as a Buck? I mean, think about it. I mean, look, this is a hard game for Tom because the supporting cast around Tom isn't built for Tom. Now, Ryan Jensen, the kid that got hurt early in the season, I read today, they're going to activate him and he'll be in at center. Now, how good will he play? I don't know. I mean, it's like Bradbury yesterday. Yeah, dress Bradbury. Sure, great idea. Put him out there. He can't block anybody. He's not healthy enough to block anybody. Sure, play Harrison Smith. He's not hurt. He can't run. I mean, he can't run. Watch him on the toss crack when he couldn't even come near the hole. Like, it's one thing to play guys that are hurt. It's another thing to play guys that can't play that they're hurt. You know, you can't play. Bradbury couldn't play through that injury. You know, Harrison Smith couldn't play through it. Can Jansen play through it? I don't know.
Remember, week one, these two teams combined for just 22 combined points. My assumption is we're going to see more. Four of Tampa's last five games have gone over the posted total. And you're right about Brady not stretching the field this year, although at Raymond James, the home-away splits, he does kind of push the ball down the field a little bit more there at home. I'm going to give you the number on the total and see what you think. It's 45.5. The weather's not going to be an issue.
No, it's perfect weather. I mean, it's Florida. I think like all these games, I think whenever you get two quarterbacks that can make plays, I think it's going to go back and forth. I don't think either defense is playing at a level that they could just stone somebody. Brady gets rid of the ball too quick. But here's the key for Dallas. If you're Dallas, you got to force Brady into at least 15 third downs in this game. Force them to execute on third down. Force them to be good and protect. That's more important than sex. Remember, this team's the 21st team in the league in third down. I mean, force them. And then when they get in the red zone, they're 22nd. Why are they so bad in the red zone? Well, because one thing, what happens in the red zone that helps teams? The quarterback moves right, moves left, kind of moves around it, and places the defense, right? And so then all of a sudden, everybody starts running around. With Brady, you can't really do that. He relies on the execution of the play to score. And when you don't have a lot of great players, the plays don't work as well.
If you want to follow the trend, the overs, shockingly, after a year of unders, the unders clipped off a 56% percentage over the regular
season. Can I tell you why? Can I tell you why?
Please.
Well, I mean, they're not calling any penalties, Patrick.
I like it.
I mean, they're not calling it. I do too. I'm not complaining. This is what I've been meaning to ask you. I said this on the podcast. I don't know if we talked about this yesterday because of the problems we had with the setup. But, like, when did I equated this? Remember in the Addams Family where they had thing where that hand came out of the thing?
Sure.
It just appeared? Like, where did this instant replay just appear from? Like, where did this come from?
You mean the expeditious
instant replay? Yeah, like, I never even – where did this come from?
It's wild, bro. Did you – where all of a sudden, even within 2 minutes, they're like, yeah, that play's been overturned. Wait, hold on a second. We can do this now? There's an efficient way to handle this? Why haven't we been doing this?
I mean, it was like thing in Adam's Family. It just appeared. It just showed up. All of a sudden, this hand comes out of nowhere. I never even knew what happened. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, where did this come from? And you know, and so, yeah, exactly. And then why the overs are hitting? Nobody, they're not calling anything. I mean, I don't know. I mean, look, Joey Bosa was tackled, and I mean, I didn't know why he was frustrated.
He had a right to be frustrated.
Yeah. He had every right to be. I don't know what he said to Sean Smith, though, because I saw Sean Smith's reaction, and that was bad. Like, nobody's followed up on that, but Sean Smith, when the ref goes back towards the player.
You're right.
I would love to know what that happened was, but I'm just saying, I get his frustration. But you want to know why the over's hitting? I mean, Steve Mackinnon had no idea that these guys were going to keep their whistles on. Now, we haven't seen the great Scott Novak yet, which will probably get him next round. He wasn't in this round. You know, he's coming, just like, you know. It's like Bill Walsh used to say when we get ready to play the Rams, Eric is coming. Well, Scott Novak's coming too, baby. He's coming with his flags. And so is Sean Hockley.
Like an ominous storm cloud on the horizon. Here comes those flags.
Yeah, Eric is coming. I could still see him standing in front of the team.
I'm so glad you brought up the way that they handled the replay. It was like, wait. This is a thing now? You can't just pop this on us like this.
They acted like we knew about it. It was there the whole time. Like, where was this coming from? Like, I was like, where did this come from? We gotta ask Jordan Schultz that. Like, where did that come from? Like, how did that get instituted? Why can't we have it every week?
I think you're right. By the way, I don't know about you, but Tom Brady is going to look awesome in silver and black next year. Your thoughts?
I don't know. I would think Tom Brady's going to go somewhere where he's comfortable. I will
he's
say this.
Play I'm next not, year. He's going to play
oh, I think
next
he's,
year.
Look, I don't think he's not playing well this year. I think the team around him is struggling.
Oh, no, he's playing the dip in play. There's not, again, maybe stretching the field, not as much, but I don't think it has anything to do with his ability. He'll be playing next year. The question is where. I don't think – do you agree it won't be Tampa Bay?
Can I don't think it'll be Tampa. There? No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
It won't be New England. Can we put that to rest?
I don't know about that. No, I don't know about that. That one I'm not sure about. I'm not sure about that one.
Interesting. Well, we do know, and again, this has nothing to do with Michael Lombardi, but we do know that the report out today is the Raiders are aggressively pursuing Tom Brady. Why wouldn't you? He's motivated.
Who wrote that report? Who wrote that report?
It was on ESPN.com. You ever heard of them? All I do is take that. I don't know where they got their information
but
from.
What genius on ESPN.com wrote that story? That's always the key. Because, I mean, you want to see Daniel Jones will now be next to Peyton Manning after ESPN gets done with him. Trust me.
Jones played well, man. You got to give Jones a little credit. I just liked the toughness. It seems like he doesn't really emote much, but he kind of seems like a robot. Daniel Jones kind of got a robot vibe about him. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan Schultz is next. We can ask him about the replay. It's very interesting how it just popped up. Adam's family.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Okay, VSiN pros get the pro tools, and by far the most popular pro tool are the betting splits, so you can find out where the money and bets are going for every game. Remember, the betting splits that we offer you are updated every 10 minutes from DraftKings, today's games, and future events, so make sure you check it out. VSiN.com/subscribe. You know, Harry Truman actually owned a haberdashery before. Remember, it took him a long time to get into politics, Michael Lombardi, but Harry Truman, your boy there, in Missouri. As we welcome you back, Michael Lombardi, Patrick Maher, this is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We're going to be joined by Jordan Schultz here in just a bit, been covering the NFL for a long time. He's finishing up a report, Michael, on Brandon Staley. So I won't ruin it, but it appears he does have some news on whether or not Brandon Staley will return for the Chargers this year. You know, the only question with that was, were the Spanos family, were they going to be too cheap to move on?
Yeah, I mean, look, to me, it's not a question about money. It's a question about, do you think this guy can? That's why I started to step into my office with Dean, what you have to evaluate. You know, like, what is your evaluation over the last 2 years? You know, if you don't want to, you know, like, tell me what he's done that makes you think he's fixed this. Because he's supposed to be a defensive coach, and he's supposed to be a defensive guru, yet you would never know it by the stats. So, like, tell me what he's done that you would continue down this road after 2 years. Tell me how he's improved. Like, I said this on the podcast. The great Charlie Munger, who we all could learn a lot from every day. I think he's 90-some years old. A great, great book. It's a coffee table book. It's called the Wit and Wisdom of Charlie Munger. And it's really well done. It's got a bunch of different pictures and all his sayings. But here's one that applies today. Charlie Munger says, what you always want to do when you hire is hire somebody who has 130 IQ but acts like he has 110 or she has 110. What you don't want to do is hire somebody who has 130 IQ and acts like they have 180.
Right.
And that's Staley.
Bright guy, maybe believes his hype a little too much. Here's a question I have for you about Staley. If he was let go today by the Chargers, would he be scooped up immediately by another team to run their defense? Would that happen immediately?
I mean, I would think it would take some time. No, not immediately. I think he would get scooped up when Vic Fangio comes back into the league. He'll go back and work for Vic.
But that, to me, that illustrates exactly what you're talking about. A head coach at his age to not immediately get, like, if John Harbaugh were let go today by the Ravens, shockingly, he'd have a job. Simply put, he'd have another job.
Well, I mean, it's like, I don't, you know what I don't understand? you know, the league talks about diversification and talks about hiring minorities and promoting. I mean, here's Steve Wilks, the guy goes 6-6. You know, and yes, he's got an interview from Carolina, but he won six games with the Panthers as an interim head coach. It's not an easy thing to do. Just ask Saturday in the park. All right? Just ask Saturday in the park. Now, he'll change things the way he likes to do things if he gets the job. Just keep that in mind, Patrick. But the reality of it here is like, you know, like, what? Why is no other team interviewing Wilks? And why is nobody raising a stink about that? Why is nobody saying, wait a minute, you guys all sit there and say, you know, there's equal hiring and equity and all this in the hiring practice. Well, here's a guy who's proven he was 6-6 and he can't even get another interview.
Put in an impossible spot with the Cardinals. Remember, year one of Rosen. And got fired after year one and then goes to Carolina, does a great job of kind of re-identifying the Panthers and winning six games. I, frankly, between you and I thought he was going to stick with the Panthers, but it looks like they may go in another direction.
Sounds like they are. Well, I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, this is not the time. This is about elections, not selections. If it were selections, there would be more than one team trying to hire Don Martindale. Because if you were to call Aaron Rodgers on the phone and say, hey, Aaron, who's the hardest guy you got to play against? He would say Martindale. If you called up any of these offensive coaches, call Shane Strickland, who's been interviewed for like three jobs. Ask him how he's feeling today. He knows he's got a better team offensively than the Giants do defensively, but he's worried about how this is going to go. He's worried about what the strategy of the game. It's very political. So, like Ben Johnson, who, you know, like I think Ben Johnson did a great job, but now he's at the front, just like Joe Brady. You know, remember Joe Brady? You had to have Joe Brady.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not saying Joe Brady won't be a good coach. I'm just saying I think experience matters.
To your point about Ben Johnson, we were joking about that. He's the offensive coordinator who did an amazing job with the Lions, to be fair. But again, calling good plays doesn't necessarily make you a head coach or a CEO. I've watched. Followed the Lions my whole life. I don't really remember seeing Ben Johnson talk, and it looks like he's interviewing everywhere. How about the Texans? Are you hearing a front runner for the Texans right now?
No, I haven't. I mean, I think they've been all over the map. They've been knowing Nick. I mean, I'm sure Nick doesn't have any guy that he leaks stuff to. So, look, I think the one thing we've seen in this coaching market is there's nobody's in a rush, which. To me, that tells you two things. Everybody's trying to get Deshaun to talk to him. That's A. And B, there's really nobody out there that people are rushing to hire. Like, I think they want to kind of do their due diligence. Like, there's nobody out there that's, oh, my God, if I don't get this guy, I'm going to lose him. Like when Andy Reid became available. You know, the Chiefs acted quickly and got him done. Like, there's nobody really out there like that. So I think, to me, that's kind of what's going on. And I think it's going to take some time. And it's good that you go through the interview process. Like, to me, interview these people. And then, you know, once you go through the interview, you learn so much about your team, about the person, about the leadership, about what it takes. It just makes things so much better.
What makes an impressive interview? So I ask you that question because a lot of these coaches are completely inundated with work. They're brought in to do a quick interview. You've heard some potential head coaches present PowerPoint presentations. My question for you is you've interviewed potential head coaches. What makes a good one?
I think a one that walks in the room and says, here's what I want to be. Here's what the organization will be if you hire me as the head coach. The main thing is the main thing, which is, who are we? And if the owner won't give you that direction, somebody has to. It's got to be the coach. So who are we? Who are you? What are we going to be when we hire you? I want somebody who's thought about being a head coach for a long time. I want somebody who's been in a lot of showers thinking about, if I was the head coach here, here's how I would do it. If I was the head coach here, I would do this. Who's worked for coaches and thought about it every single day. I want somebody who's thought about being a head coach. I don't want somebody who's sitting there, you know, just calls plays. I mean, you see that yesterday. I mean, here's the guy. He goes into, he strategizes the game. He tries Skylar Thomas, 30, 45. I get it. Look, when did Buffalo played their nickel the whole game? They didn't change. They didn't change anything. You know, I know his offensive line wasn't good, but what I'm suggesting is there's ways to kind of take some of the pressure off of Skylar Thompson. Now, the receivers didn't help him. They had a couple drops. But to me, I thought it was a poor game plan, in terms of not being able to find a way to run the football, which is the mark of a great coach. Like Walsh used to say this all the time. Great offensive coaches understand how to run the football. Kyle Shanahan knows how to run the football. Josh McDaniels knows how to run the football. The Eagles know how to run the football. And how do you win playoff games? You win playoff games when you have to put the game away. Now, that this is what happens to the Chiefs at times, is they don't put the game away, but they have Mahomes and he covers up the sins.
Yeah. And you also want a guy that wants to, has a passion to be a leader, a passion to be a head coach. Not remember your boy William Howard Taft? He didn't even want to be president. He wanted to be a judge, but he backed into the president. Like, again, you want somebody super motivated. And you mentioned Miami. McDaniel, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Ross going after Peyton at the time? And then McDaniel was kind of the second person that
was either. Can you imagine the finalists for that job were McDaniel and Kellen Moore? I mean, could you pick two more guys who don't motivate anybody? I mean, like, because there are two more guys that are just more of a play caller, analytical people. You know, it's so to me, it's like, and everything is timing, right? I said this to you off air. I mean, when I was in Cleveland in 13, Brian Daboll was looking for, nobody wanted to hire Brian Daboll as an offensive coach back then. He went back to New England. Went back to New England. I mean, he couldn't get a coordinator's job in the league. He took the Alabama coordinator job. He got the Buffalo job because he and McDermott were at William & Mary together years ago. That's how he got that job.
Good point, I mean, having to go dip into college.
Now, all of a sudden, I read from everybody online, that people feel look stupid not hiring Brian Daboll. You could have hired, nobody wanted, one of the people that are saying that wouldn't even bring him in for an interview. Now, they'll forget that because they're all geniuses with an eraser.
So, our guest that was scheduled, we're going to try to effort for Jordan Schultz coming up in a couple of minutes. He did tweet this. He's been chasing down the Staley story. Chargers strongly considering keeping head coach Brandon Staley, a source tells Schultz. Staley makes in the neighborhood of $4 million per season. There's a chance, however, he'll have to make significant staff changes. Staley expected to meet with ownership in the near future. Internal talks ongoing.
Staley wants to make staff changes. He wants to fire his whole offensive staff. He wants
Lombardi
that. That's
out.
What he wants.
Lombardi, so he can, he
yeah,
can
that's what he wants
the
to
offensive
do.
Coaching staff.
Of course. Of course.
But wasn't it the head coach? Can't the head coach let the offensive coaching staff know in the second half, run the freaking football? It's philosophically his decision. Come on.
Don't get in the way of facts, please.
Back with the Lombardi Line.
You're listening to the Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
Become a VSiN Pro for $9.99. It's a special introductory offer. As a matter of fact, I got to send over Samich, who hasn't missed on the show in a long time. He just gave me a play. So make sure you sign up, VSiN.com/subscribe. Pro tools, pro picks, pro tips, and more. VSiN.com/subscribe. Okay, so there's not many people that have more sources than Jordan Schultz, of course, NFL insider for The Score. And I believe during the break, he just added Michael Lombardi to the arsenal as far as sources. I won't give out the information, but he got some info. Now, you've been chasing down the Staley story. We read your tweet, and you can find Jordan Schultz_report. Give us the latest on Brandon Staley there with the Chargers.
Yeah, I thought after the third largest colossal comeback in NFL playoff history, 27 points, I thought for sure the Chargers would move on. And I had spoken with people around the league that believed it as well. But ultimately, it looks like he's probably not going to be fired for a couple reasons. It's not that the Chargers don't have the money. It's that ownership doesn't want to pay a buyout. He's owed about $4 million per season. And basically, when it comes down to it, is they've won 9 and 10 games the last couple seasons. They go to the playoffs. He's pretty well-liked, Staley is, within the locker room. And I think what it is going to be is significant offensive staff changes, maybe defenses as well. I think Mike Lombardi, the OC, is pretty much gone. But the big news of the day, and I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't surprised, is that I think Brandon Staley will absolutely be keeping his job with the Chargers.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, that surprised me because I'm like you. I heard all throughout the league that he was in trouble. I guess my next question to you, based on your sources, is where's Tom Telesco in all this? I know his contract's up, and I know there's a little bit of a rub, like there always is between personnel and coaching, that there's a little bit of a rub between the two of them, And where do you think this leads to Telesco? Because remember, the Spanos family sons are in this business too.
Absolutely. And when I was told about Staley, this was even before the Jacksonville game, that he would be coaching for his job, the rub was that Tom Telesco could be in trouble because that would mean that he would have to hire his fourth head coach with the Bolts. And let's be realistic, Michael, we don't see that very often. It's almost impossible to get four head coaching jobs throughout your GM tenure with one organization. So I guess this is probably good news for him, ultimately, if you're a Tom Telesco fan, because it means that your head coach stays, you shake up your OC, and you move forward. But I haven't checked as much on this over the last 48 hours or even 24, but because the Staley news to me was surprising this morning, but I think he'll probably be okay as a result.
Okay, Jordan Schultz had the report first. Schultz_report. He's been chasing it. Staley looks like he's going to keep his job with the Bolts. As he said, NFL Insider, The Score. Two first-year head coaches yesterday, that being Daboll and O'Connell. I believe you were there in Minnesota, correct?
It was. Have you guys been to Minnesota?
It's loud, right?
As good an atmosphere.
It's loud. Yeah. Go ahead.
Loud, fun. That horn, that Viking. It was unbelievable. First time for me at U.S. Bank. I was able to get there a couple hours before the game, and the field was awesome. The atmosphere was incredible. It was an unbelievable playoff game, and Daniel Jones caught up with him briefly before the game. I felt he was really confident, but you don't know until you see someone in their first playoff game. And for him to, I think it was three total touchdowns, I want to say, 70 rushing yards, first guy to do it in a playoff game. And he was sensational. I mean, it's their first playoff win in like 11 years, right? So I was blown away by him and that entire team.
You know, what was your sense of after the game? You know, Mike Kafka's a head coaching candidate. Today we find out Don Martindale has an interview with the Colts. What's the sense? Do you think they could lose either one of those guys?
Less so to me, Wink. And even I think Kafka, it sounds like he might wait to interview, right? So if I had to put the odds on it, I would say it's pretty unlikely that Wink is lost this cycle. And maybe a little less unlikely, but still I'd be surprised if Kafka left. I mean, I can tell you this. He has a phenomenal relationship with Daniel Jones, and I think he would like to see it through at least for another year. And unless there was an unbelievable head coaching opportunity, I'd be surprised if he left.
Michael, what's your boy Wink Martindale have to do at this point? That's the question. What's he have to do?
I think he's got to prove he thinks like a head coach, acts like a head coach, and can develop an offensive program. We know he's going to be a good defensive coach, but I think he's got to sell himself as a head coach to build a program.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, let's go back to the Chargers, right? Like, that roster is unbelievable in terms of they do have some elite talent across the board. The Giants, however, are still building it. And I think they were projected to win five games this year. And obviously, they haven't been able to, in this short amount of time, give Daniel Jones the types of playmakers that they like. And I think Joe will certainly address that and take care of it. So for them to put that together, and then on the defensive side, for Wink, Michael, to your point, to get not only the most out of some really good young players, but also some of the fake out. They only blitzed 9 times yesterday. And this is a team that blitzes, I think, a third of the snaps. So he mixed it up. And to me, that is thinking like a head coach. I don't know Wink. I can tell you that the players really respect him. And for him to change up his philosophy in a must-win game is exactly what he needed to do. And I give him a lot of credit for it.
All right, let's shift here. I want to talk about Lamar Jackson with you. What's your gut instinct on what happens this offseason with Lamar instincts? Not holding you to it. I think everything's at play with Lamar. I think trade. I think I think everything's at play. What's your gut instinct?
Totally agree. I thought his tweet was a little strange, where he said it was a little dark, where he said, you know, I hope my guys can get it done. I wish I was there with them. It was just, to me, it was a little strange. And then you had, you know, obviously they played a pretty good game. I thought Snoop Huntley played about as well as you could have expected. They had a chance to win it. The bigger picture, though, I think everything is in play. I know that you know, you're talking about a guy that could command a tremendous amount of assets. You know, you think about a team like the Jets, for example, just hypothetically, this is not sourced, but you can imagine what he could do for them. Any roster that feels like they're relatively competitive, to add someone like that, a former MVP who's in his mid-20s, and I think there is some tension there. Number one, he doesn't have an agent. Sometimes that can be a problem. When you have an agent, you know, for better or worse, he can dampen some of the negative things that a staff is going to tell you throughout the season about your contract, what you're not doing. I think there is some tension there. I think the Ravens are frustrated. And if they are gonna give him that Deshaun Watson type of money, Michael, that he wants, they have to be 100% sure or close to it that his body's not going to break down, that he's going to be available, which obviously he hasn't been really the last couple seasons. So there's a lot of decisions to be made there, a lot that goes into it. But to your first point, everything's in play.
Jordan, I know you're chasing down the coaching vacancies, but let me ask you in the final 2 minutes here, do you have a lean tonight? Dallas is laying 2.5 at Tampa. Give me your thoughts on the game tonight.
I like Dallas. I feel like nobody else does. Why is everyone picking Tampa? Because of Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just creds. I do. I think that they think this Tom has a switch that all of a sudden, you know, I mean, remember when they played Tennessee in a playoff game in New England? They weren't playing well, and everybody thought they lost to Miami the week before, and they thought they were going to just turn it right on.
I like Dallas in this game. The defense, to me, is everything for them. I mean, I guess that I would say this. Number one, you know, Tampa, you mentioned that whole switch thing. Offensively, it's been a mess for them. I think, you know, I really like Rashad White. I love to see him get involved more. To me, Mike Evans, you know, I don't need him to go for 200 yards again, but he's so much better when he gets involved early. I was talking to DK Metcalf, another big-bodied, you know, physical receiver who had a monster playoff game earlier in the season about this, and he was saying, you know, when you get those touches early, when you get those targets, you just feel more involved, and that's helpful. It's almost like I played basketball in college when you can, and I was not a good player, but when you can make shots early and get touches, you feel good about things. Everything starts to feel more positive. That would be the biggest key for me to get for both Tom and Mike Evans and the Bucks. But I like Dallas. I talked to Dan Quinn last week. I felt he had a good game plan. He was devising a good game plan. He's been around it. I'm not saying Dallas is going to make a deep playoff run because they are flawed. 7 picks in his last 7 games for Dak, but overall, in this game, I do like the Cowboys on the road.
Okay, Jordan, in real time, while you're talking, looks like people are picking up on your story and reacting on social, and that is Jordan Schultz reporting looks like Staley's going to return as the Chargers head coach. You can find Jordan Schultz _report on Twitter and, of course, NFL Insider for The Score. Thank you, and great job, man. We appreciate you.
Best of luck, Jordan. Keep in touch. Thank you so much, man.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime, just say the word. Take care.
Thank you very much. The report, like I said, in real time. Good job by Jordan Schultz. So, Staley coming back, man.
We're assuming
based on the reporting, and he's always on.
Yeah,
top
I mean,
of it,
look, you know, this he's got a very modest contract for a head coach at $4 million. Let me say that.
We talked the Spanos family. They're all rich. There's different levels of rich, and it appears they don't want to pay the $4 million, which is.
They got that family fight going on, too. Don't confuse that now. They have that internal squabble with the sister and Dean. That's going on, too.
Thanksgiving was awkward. Pritch is next.
You're listening to The Lombardi Line on VSiN, featuring former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now, once again, here's Patrick Maher.
It's the best loyalty program in the game. It's BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. Wager at BetMGM, earn BetMGM reward points, and convert those reward points into free bets, airfare. It's the best. It's like I say all the time, it's the best loyalty program in the game. You can check it out right now at BetMGM.com or download the BetMGM app. You got to be 21 years or older, 1-800-GAMBLER if you have an issue. Michael Lombardi scouring social for some breaking news. The expectations, we'll hear some news today as far as coaches, assistant coaches, no doubt. Mike Pritchard joins us here on the Lombardi Line. Of course, former first-round draft pick, our colleague here on VSiN. And we've got Pritch's points as we say hi to Mike Pritchard. He had a good weekend. He's got a teaser open tonight. We'll get to Dallas and Tampa. But you want to start with Pritch's points. You want to start with talking about Josh Allen and his potential sloppiness here, Pritch.
Yeah, potential. No, it has been sloppy.
It is.
Luckily,
yes,
they're
exactly.
good enough to overcome it, right? And great to be with you and Michael. But no, I saw something yesterday that was disturbing with Buffalo. And it's like it's this nature or this feeling that they need to protect Josh or Josh needs to protect himself and stand in the pocket and sling it. Now, he's got a Hollister. I mean, we know what kind of arm he has. The big play potential is going to be there, too. But Buffalo needs to establish a running game. Buffalo needs to run the football in the playoffs. We all know that. That's a path to the Super Bowl. And he's the second leading rusher on the football team. So I was dumbfounded by the fact that they didn't implement any type of design runs or any type of consistency that way to help Josh Allen, you know, because I think he's that type of player. He's a great athlete, and he can settle down and get into a rhythm and then make those big-time throws. Now, Knox dropping a touchdown didn't help. Certainly, Shakir dropping a big play, that didn't help either. But the interceptions, the way that Josh was slinging the ball at times, being inaccurate as well, I mean, that to me is a recipe for disaster. They have to utilize him in a running game, and I think that helped out that Buffalo offense.
You know, I could not agree more, Mike, because I don't know what the Buffalo offense is when I watch it. I have no idea. And what I've said repeatedly on this show since the New England win game, when they lost that game and they couldn't deal with the wind or score points, they went to the six-back offense, and they became dynamic. And now they're trying to get away from it, and they're back to not being dynamic again. They're inconsistent. I agree.
Yeah.
So that is Allen, and not potential. You mentioned the sloppiness that's got to concern them. The other side, they're going to be hosting Cincinnati. You know, Cincinnati, obviously, the Ravens have familiarity there, but Cincinnati wasn't exactly what you hoped for on offense. And as Michael's pointed out, the injuries across the offensive front are an issue.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, the right side of that offensive line, I think that's going to be an issue. You know, McDermott, Buffalo, Frazier, I mean, they started to bring linebackers to add pressure. Von Miller's presence is not out there. And, you know, whether you're sending linebackers or trying to confuse, come off the edge a little bit, then that was working against Miami. Against Cincinnati, maybe they can get pressure with the front four because of the injury situation. But they're still going to have to overcome the situation of going up against one of those elite teams and an elite quarterback, too. So I don't know if Buffalo can make the amount of mistakes against this team coming up this weekend, guys, in terms of trying to move on to the championship game. But obviously, you know, Josh Allen, again, he's a great quarterback. I think he's got some ways to go and to be a complete quarterback, but they have to utilize his legs. We saw Huntley and we saw the Baltimore Ravens offense have success against that Bengals defense because of some design runs. So I'm looking forward to seeing that this weekend. And especially if I'm going to put a wager on Buffalo, I have a ticket on Buffalo to win the Super Bowl. But I need them to break out of the shell of protecting Josh Allen right now.
Yeah, I agree with you on Cincinnati. I just don't think Cincinnati's as good a team as they were last year defensively. They don't pressure the passer as much. And I think as bad as the offensive line was, I think the fact that their defense can't carry them is a little bit more problematic. I love Joe Burrow. I just don't trust him yet.
Yeah. Our matchup so far, we've got Jacksonville at Kansas City. Kansas City laying 8.5, 9. We've got the Giants at Philly. Philly lane 7, 7.5. Got a shop there. And Cincinnati, Buffalo, it's painted 4 with Buffalo lane. Mike Pritchard joining us. So one thing you can squawk about is you got the best of the number. That's important. You laid 1 with San Diego. Excuse me. Pardon me. Los Angeles, the Chargers. The problem is they gave up a 27-0 lead. So that's the issue there, Pritch.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, since Staley has been there, I think their defense has been in the bottom tier of points allowed anyway. They had a total meltdown by Bosa, which, look, there's a lot of frustration in that locker room. I think that was throughout the entire year. And Staley's the center of all that, to be honest with you. But you got to make plays. We know that in the playoffs. I think Justin Herbert missed Keenan Allen for a wide-open touchdown. The kicker missed a 40-yard field goal. So there's ways that you can see why they lost that game. But I think the mentality or lack of killer instinct really hurt the Chargers. I mean, they're up, you know, 3 scores, and yet they're settling for field goals, continually trying to settle for field goals. And I just think if you could put the pedal to the metal and get outside of the range of Jacksonville to be able to come back, That certainly would have helped out the Chargers on Saturday night.
Yeah, I just don't think the Chargers play with any power or physicality in the run game. Yeah. I mean, they had 8 carries in the second half for 20 yards. 13 came on Justin Herbert's scramble. You know, and you have a 27-7 lead. You got to control the game some way other than throwing wide stick or, you know, spacing. You got to be able to run it in there and get 4 yards and get a chance, you know, keep them off balance. I mean, everybody sits there and says, oh, you need the run game for play action. I mean, that's the biggest joke in football. Like, you could fake a handoff anytime you want. It'll suck the linebackers up whether you run the ball or not. What you need the running game for is to be able to have physicality.
Okay, so I'll just lay it out here, Pritch. Tonight, Lombardi's going with Dallas. He's not buying into. We've got a lot of people around here concerned, a lot of Cowboys fans. Where are you? It's 2.5 and 45.5, the Cowboys at the Bucks.
Yeah, I teased the Bucks, so I'm one half way there. I'm halfway there with a pretty decent-sized teaser. And I'm thinking I'm going to lay it with the Dallas Cowboys. There's some 2.5s out there. It's underneath a field goal. And have a good chance of a middle here. I do believe Dallas will win the game. I just thought, you know, if I can get outside of 2 possessions, because I think the Buccaneers defense can kind of keep them in the game for a while. You're looking at the Buccaneers defense, that's what, 2nd in the National Football League in forcing 3 and outs. And if Dallas gets off to a slow start, I can buy time, right, until Tom Brady and that offense can get in gear, hopefully. Tom Brady's got the quickest release in the National Football League. They have the 3rd highest yards after a catch after a quarterback from a quarterback with their playmakers. I know they throw it a lot, but I think that's a good matchup for Tom if their defense can hold him in it. So I'm looking for a middle. I like the number of 2.5 with the Cowboys as well.
I like that too. I think I think the Cowboys are the better team. They got better play, and their best players have to play well today. I mean, Tony Pollard is their best player. He's got to play great. Zeke's got to do what Zeke does, and Dak can't make mistakes. Dak's got to be the complementary piece. He's not the signature piece. And if they do that, they should be able to hold in there. I mean, Tampa can't score that many points. I know they scored a bunch against the Panthers. They scored 30, but that was really, they made 3 big plays. If Dallas doesn't give up a big play, I think they got a great chance.
Raymond James, the weather's going to be fine. You played down there, right? You played down in Tampa, Pritch.
It was the sombrero, though.
Oh, the big sombrero, yeah.
Yes, that's right, the creamsicle.
Oh, I loved it, yeah.
And Tampa
but did they, like did, a, they have, did they have the pirate ship is the question.
Yeah, no, they didn't have. They might have had something there. Rich, didn't they have something in the end zone? Or I don't know.
I don't remember outside of the big sombrero and the fact that the creamsicle uniforms. And, you know, that was that historic Super Bowl, right, with Buffalo and
yeah.
The Giants. And so
the Whitney Houston Super Bowl. She sang the national anthem at that one. That one was great.
It.
Yeah.
Yep. But now, yeah, they upgraded their stadium. They got the pirate ship. Do they have a swimming pool or something like that, too? Or is that Jacksonville?
That's Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's got the pool, too. I saw that kid in the pool. I hope he's not sick this week. God almighty.
I saw those psychopaths in cold weather in the pool there.
Right.
Hey, Pritch, we only have a minute. I'm just curious. Do you give the Giants a chance catching 7.5 at Philly? Do you give them a chance outright?
I love the buy-in. I do. And, it, you know, it's the 3rd time around. And, you know, the feeling in the locker room is that we almost beat the Eagles with our backups, right? And so I think with the starters, they're going to be more confident 3rd time around.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, enjoy the game today. It's going
to
be...
Pritch, I'm going to break the news to you. Nobody in Philly agrees with you. I just want you to know that.
Nobody in Philly agrees
with you. The line is 35, and it's the Eagles. So, just so you know.
Okay, so you got to lay 35. Maybe 35 in a hook.
30,
okay,
right.
Michael, 42. Enjoy Dallas-Tampa Bay tonight. And again, you're 2-0. You're on Dallas tonight, correct? Laying the 2.5.
Yep, you bet. Let's do it.
Okay. Pritch, appreciate your patience today. We'll talk to you next Monday, okay?
Thanks,
thank you very
appreciate
much.
You.
Sounds great, guys. Yep, have a great week. Okay.
Great job, everybody. Big Bets is coming up next with Dave and Amal right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll see you next time on the Lombardi Line.